Hey, KFC Radio listeners, you can find every episode of KFC Radio on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What does it take to become a NASCAR legend? Generations of victory?
One of the great masters of the sport.
Motor oil in your veins. Does it take irrational confidence?
Tony Stewart wins!
A little bit of last lap magic. What about fandom that runs in the family? A track where every mile becomes a memory. Or maybe it's simply knowing that new legacies are built one lap at a time. NASCAR Legends, presented by Geico at Talladega, Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Fox.
Experience your drives in 10K with the all-new QI10 Max driver from our friends at TaylorMade. QI10 Max is the most forgiving driver TaylorMade has ever made, with 10K MOI for maximum stability and forgiveness at impact. More forgiveness means more long and straight drives, even on off-center strikes. The days of missing the fairway are numbered. Shop QI10 Max, QI10, and QI10 LS drivers, plus schedule a custom fitting at TaylorMadeGolf.com.
Kevin. Kevin, you're just ridiculously stupid.
Welcome. Is this Kevin?
I know you like that, Rocket.
I like it
when it's a dog day Friday.
Yeah, I do like dog day Fridays.
It's
I do.
Friday.
And Zah's back.
On a motherfucking Friday, baby. It's Friday. We ain't got no kitty cats.
No.
And you ain't got shit to do, man.
I actually do have shit to do today.
Dude, today was supposed to be a light day. You ever had one of those days where it's like, oh, I got nothing today. It's going to be like easy. Mm-hmm. And then it turns out to be fucking worse than ever.
Yeah.
That's what's going on for me right now. I've been running around a million miles a minute today when I thought I was going to like chill.
It's Friday. Like, we shouldn't be doing all this stuff. We should just be relaxing.
Who wants to do stuff?
We got stuff
Fuck
to
stuff.
Do on a Friday. But, you know, I'm happy about the stuff that I'm doing today.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard seltzer beverage company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
What stuff are you doing?
Did Section 10, very funny episode, CCK. This is obviously going to be an all-time episode with Casey being out. Friday Night Pints. And then I think I'm...
Hey, Avery, can you give me a bottle of water?
Sorry. And then I think I might be doing something with Brandon. I don't know.
Wrestling?
I might be doing that. I don't know, because the window of time that I said I was busy, I think it didn't work for him.
Oh, well, you know, B. Walker, he's on that B90X.
Right. And then...
So works 90 hours a week.
Merch meeting... for a line that I'm going to be putting out, and I think a lot of people would enjoy it.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I'm good, thank you.
I woke up, I started out my day with a motherfucking performance, Jared.
Sexually?
No.
Okay.
No, polar opposite of that.
Uh-huh.
I'm in dad mode this morning. I wake up, and tomorrow is Shay's birthday, so today is her school birthday.
Okay.
And,
birthdays are almost better than like,
well,
your actual birthday.
Honestly, you'd say that. They used to be. You can't bring in any fucking food anymore, so no cupcakes and shit.
Why?
Because allergies, and you can't do like any gifts because of bullying, all this shit.
That's how you weed out the week.
It's true. Darwinism, man. Just let that kid with the peanut allergy fucking die in the corner.
Exactly.
No big deal.
Yeah.
Well, but Shay puts on like a little tissue paper crown or whatever. I don't know. But what's gone on in the years gone by is you have one of your parents come in and read to the class, and every year running, I've gone in, read the same book that me and Shay read, and I go in and I'm a fucking showman.
Yeah, of course.
I put on a performance. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got these kids laughing. I got these kids dying. Mm-hmm. They're like passing out. Like, oh my God, that was the funniest fucking thing in the world. Well, I can't go in this year. I got to do it over Zoom.
Well, that's where you shine, though, because it's like, well, if you can't be there in person, can that still translate over Zoom?
Well, let me tell you something.
How much talent do you have?
I'm going to go ahead and blame the audience on this one, because these fucking kids, they gave me nothing. I mean, they gave me nothing. I fire up the Zoom. I'm a professional on Zoom. I've been doing interviews with fucking celebrities on Zoom for the last year. And these fucking kids, they act like they're getting some chump off the street to read them a book. No fucking sir.
No.
No fucking, no way, ma'am. Why don't you guys perk up and get ready? Because you're about to get the fucking book reading of a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
It's KFC doing Dr. Seuss on your asses.
What book was it?
10 Apples Up on Top.
Okay.
First of all, it's like 35 pages. It's quick. It's like a very, you know, Dr. Like Seuss, he spits those bars. He spits rhymes. Mm-hmm. But I was like turning pages after pages. So I got, it's her and like three other kids. It's a very small class to begin with. Probably a couple kids got COVID, a couple kids out, whatever. So I got this Zoom with my kid and then three others. And they're just sitting there staring at me.
That's like a small audience.
Fucking Billy Madison. Small audience is right. It was an intimate setting. And so I'm like, you kids ready? Let's do this. And even Shay's like, yeah. It's like, come on.
I mean, Shay knows
even my own daughter betraying me. Let's go. Give me some energy here, kid.
I feel like Shay, it's like, you know, it doesn't matter how great the band is. Once you've seen a band on tour so many times, it kind of loses its luster.
It's true. She's over it.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, she's seen this act a ton of times.
It was her fucking choice, though. You want something new, then pick it.
Right.
So I go, and I'm ripping. Three apples up on. I could do three, but I could do four. You could do four, but I could do more. I'm ripping. I'm firing on all cylinders. Nothing. Nada. And then I get
you
to
should
the
have
end.
Just done the half baked exit.
Fuck you.
Yeah. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. You're my daughter. Fuck you. I'm out.
That would have been unbelievable. Mic drop on their asses. Just slam the fucking laptop shut. And then they do. And they sing happy
people
birthday.
People don't appreciate greatness.
Exactly. I'm not coming back next year. How about that, bitches?
Yeah. That's on you.
Little goddamn assholes.
The blood is on your hands.
Seriously. Like, you know. I'm not coming to the party next time.
Yeah.
You dicks. So, you know, that kind of was a that was
imagine
a shot
going,
to the ego.
Imagine going to see like Led Zeppelin.
And just nothing.
Making no noise.
Nothing. Like when they're like, let me hear in the audience. Hey, ho, people on this side, people on that side. And they just do
other.
Nothing.
Yeah.
They just look around like, what are we even here for? It's like, oh, I don't know. You want to go back to your regular ass fucking teacher?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Good luck with that.
Good luck with Mr. Ben doing music again for the 500th time.
Yeah, we all live in a yellow submarine. Fuck that.
Go home and tell your fucking dad that KFC from Barstool was reading. He would probably cum his pants.
Right.
Your father would love it.
You don't appreciate greatness.
Your father would probably fucking pay to see me and buy me a beer afterwards and ask me for a picture awkwardly. Mm. Make his wife hold the camera.
Yeah.
Shit.
It is, I guess it's one of the things that we talked about on Section 10 this morning, like opposite end of the spectrum, being young and having appreciation. I was on Red Sox Reddit, and there's this new Red Sox podcast, and they're teenagers.
Oh, shit. You got competition, son?
No, but they're teenagers. And I was, like, watching one of their clips, and, like, it reminded me of me, where it was, like, you know, you're in high school, super passionate about the Red Sox. There's nothing bad that they could ever do. You can only say positive things.
Yeah.
And they're having a debate about
Are they, 16? Like, did they see 04? Were they alive for 04?
I don't know.
Probably like right on the border, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're having a debate about like Nomar versus Jeter, like who's better.
Right.
And it's like
having not witnessed either of them really. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Like no chance.
Right.
No chance.
That's like us talking like, you know, Ted Williams versus Joe DiMaggio.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. And like I, because we were talking about the clip that just went viral of Manny and the dude that like saw him and like didn't know who he was. Like, if you were in a Red Sox hat, he was around my age. Like, you should know who Manny is. Like,
the X factor was, though, that it was in Australia, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. But whatever.
So I think he was... Yeah, but it's like, now we're at the point where, like, if you were if you're 18 right now, when Manny hit that home run and put his hands up, you were five.
Yeah, you don't remember that. You weren't watching that. Maybe your dad put you on his knee and you were watching, but you don't remember it.
If you're 21 years old... If you're able to legally buy a beer, you were born when the Red Sox signed Manny.
If you are, let's say you're 20, let's make it an even 20.
Okay.
You probably don't truly remember you won in 13?
13.
You probably remember the 2013 World Series. That's really where it starts.
If you're 20?
Yeah, like that, like you're watching yourself, you'll remember.
You were seven
you'll
when
remember
they won in
07.
07.
You don't have no recollection of 04.
No.
You'll have like my dad, like I watched
That's
07
insane.
And my dad told me about it, but 13 is the first time you start to like actually know what you're talking about.
I
Crazy.
I was. That's why, like, I am the Red Sox prophet. Like, I came to Earth at the exact time that I should. That's fucking right, Za. I came to Earth at the right
time. The Messiah.
Perfect. I was born on opening day, Za. Did I tell you this? During quarantine. I was born on opening day, 1989. I was born on the first day of the Major League Baseball season.
With the rocket in the fucking
room. My dad, during quarantine, found the newspaper from the day that I was born, and it said, "The rocket launches." That's what the front page of the Boston Herald was.
Let's go, Rocket!
And I was old enough to remember shitty Fenway, so I have an appreciation for the new ownership. I'm old enough to remember Nomar, Pedro, Manny, Mo Vaughn. I'm old enough to remember, like these kids that are doing this podcast now, I was their age when they won in 04.
Yep.
07, like, I'm here. I'm here for these people.
Baby.
The Messiah.
Like, the Red Sox Messiah.
You are the chosen one. The beard, the everything. You got to start walking around like.
I shouldn't have cut my hair. I should have let it grow.
You got to walk around right now, walk around the streets of Boston and start washing people's feet. Just fucking heal the sick. Tend to the poor.
Mm-hmm.
Start turning fucking loaves into fish.
Fish into bread.
Bread into fish. Wine into water.
The last haircut that I got is the last haircut I'm going to get for a long time.
Okay. You heard it here, folks. Hold on to it.
Gimmick change, Red Sox Messiah.
I would love that. The rocket disappears for a while, and we just get the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
The Messiah Carabas. Oh, I'm so dumb, baby.
I am so dumb for that.
You grow that hair, and you get
grow
a tan.
The beard too.
Oh, shit.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense.
And then, you know, a few years from now, we'll crucify you.
I feel like I've already had that happen.
No.
Through various points.
No, we'll crucify. We'll tie you
like
up.
Physically.
We won't nail you, but we'll tie you to a cross.
All right. I mean, like, I feel like Casey crucifies me all the time.
Listen. She's not even here today. You
not
don't
even here
need
today.
To bring,
she's
you don't even
she's
to bring
swimming
her up.
In my brain. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, these kids, they got to pay homage. They got to remember that, you know, how many years ago.
I want them on. I want to.
You want to put them over? Maybe give them some love.
Yeah. I was like, I want to have them on.
Pass the baton.
Said, you guys,
not really, but you know,
not pass the baton, but like
grow the game. Grow the
do for them what some individuals did for me when I first came in. That I wish people did for me when I first.
Who
came
helped
in.
You out?
Who
you give love to? Not Peter Abraham.
Fuck that guy. Steve Buckley was super nice to me. There was one individual that I would name, but then he kind of like, he did like a 180. He like heel turned on me.
Really?
Yeah. Kirk told me that he like talked shit about me all the time.
Would I know this or no? Was it like a local Boston thing?
It's a local Boston guy, yeah. But like he used to be
Fuck
super
you,
nice
local,
to me.
Local
then,
Boston guy?
Yeah, and then he like shit talks me all the time, so... yeah.
Well, a lot can change over the course of several years. We got Theo in New York on the line, who is reminding us that today
is
the 6-year anniversary
of
the Hell's Bells video.
Oh,
and Chrissy Teigen murdering Dave Portnoy, and so we're gonna go down memory lane here. What's up, Theo?
Yeah, I think I might have tweeted at you earlier in the week, but yeah, I think a couple days ago was like the 6-year anniversary. And it's just one of the all-time rundowns. I mean, you guys showing up in, like, suits.
We had a funeral. We had a funeral for him. That's right. Because he wasn't even on the rundown either, right? Or was he?
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Was not on the rundown, and in typical fashion where it's typically would be off of like the back of a Patriots loss on Sunday where it's like, all right, you know, every other week we'll talk about the Patriots as the first topic. He buried that as like the last topic.
Yep.
You know, obviously going into the Hell's Bells video, and I just kind of wanted to hear, you know, your account of it. There were some, you know, legendary follow-up tweets to Chrissy's tweet. And it's just a really an all-time moment for us.
Chrissy's tweet was what? Why don't you at me, tough guy? Something like that?
Something to that effect.
Yeah. On a scale of 1 to 10, like how, because that, you know, referencing Dave's tweet, like on a scale of 1 to 10, how big of a pussy do you have to be? Basically?
Not at me. Yeah. I mean, Dave's always had beef with Chrissy Teigen. Not like real beef, but... He's always been like, she's the cool girl who tries to be the cool girl. And I was always like, breaking news, I think she's just the cool girl. I think she's just cool. I think she's got like, you know, she's pretty witty on Twitter, especially for like a female celebrity who often trying to find one who's rich, successful, and pretty, but also has like humor and personality. She's a unicorn. So I always thought like, yeah, listen, she's out here on Twitter trying to make jokes just like we are. It's like you could call us try hard too. We're trying to be funny guys, whatever. So I remember I was always kind of on her side, and then when she body bags Dave, but the funniest thing, the Hell's Bells. It's funny because that's like the term, like you even said here, the Hell's Bells video. It's like capital letters. Like we know we're talking about. That's funny. But to me, the first tweet of I have to say something is so fucking funny. Like Dave just being like he came back to Twitter, realizes it's an avalanche. He's been absolutely just like steamrolled. And he's just like, I have to say something.
And the fact that he's like, oh, yeah, I'm not getting push notifications. Like, everybody that works for me is tweeting at me right now, but I'm just going to –
Well, no, you know what?
Up on your phone, even if you're
– I will stand by. I can't say that because I don't have – like, if everybody starts tweeting me, my phone doesn't go off. But at that stage in our career –
2014,
And pretty much forever, like right now, you would have just opened Twitter at some point in the last like 15, 20 minutes. I mean, he was gone for a while. So I don't think he necessarily has to have the push notifications on because I know I don't have that either. But he was like in the middle of tweeting and then he says he was out there trying to make this. It is funny. It is believable that Dave would be struggling to make a video filming his screen for like 20 minutes. So it does, his excuse does work, but it's also just like, well, that's the problem, old man. You sat here filming your screen for 20 minutes and let the internet, you know, declare you dead. So we,
In classic, you know, sold the soul to the devil fashion, he like met her at like a book fair or something like 3 days later and was like, actually, yeah, she was a cool girl. And we like got on well. It's like,
100%.
She just eviscerated you.
I know.
Like, you know, 30 hours ago.
I know. And now, and then I think he ran into her at like a pizza review when he did that modeling thing. She was cool. I mean, like I said, because she is a cool girl, it wasn't actually like bad blood, but man, those really were the good old days. Thanks for the fucking memory, Theo. I feel like there's just none of that anymore. And like, and if there is, it's like not fun.
The organic stuff.
It's too serious. Like, like right now, if something like that happened and like we were like busting balls, it would be like serious right away. You know, it would be like somebody would take it over the top and it wouldn't be as like good natured and just like humorous
as
it is.
Dave didn't he just win like the most polarizing sports figure?
Did he?
Yeah.
Voted by who?
I saw that tweet. I thought is that real? I thought that was.
I think it's real. I mean, they talked about it on like the Dave Portnoy show. Like Eddie brought it up as like this is.
Well,
and then he mentioned
I saw something else. I saw a Photoshop of the Time Person of the Year. Him. That's what I was referring.
Yeah, this was like the
he's not the Time Person.
This was like the most polarizing person in sports or something like that.
Which I think is
I think
definitely.
He won. Like, so my point is like he's at this point now. His character has evolved to the point where he's polarizing. Like he looks different and he gives off a completely different vibe. Whereas before he was like the goofy hunchback that he's just not that anymore.
No.
Like he wears the suit and he like actually like showers and stuff. It's
I mean, he had his glow up and he has all the money in the world.
That's it. The money, the power, the fame, like that all came to the point where it's like before. Like, if you were a stoolie from Boston, you're like, this guy is ours. And now
he doesn't belong to Boston. And also,
Boston
not that there was ever really, like, he was always the boss. He's the founder. He's always been, like, the number one. But
like, there's probably a large portion of his audience that doesn't even know he's from Boston.
Oh, yeah. No, there are people who just know him as the pizza guy. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, they don't even know him as the blogger. They don't even know him. Even to some extent, like, the Goodell and Patriots thing is fading away. People know him as a stock guy now, you know?
Yeah.
But even within Barstool, there used to be, like...
A lot of people know him as Alex Cooper's boss.
Right, yeah.
He's just the guy that...
The daddy gang guy.
He presses record on Caller Daddy.
But there were times where, like, we would be... Like, that, for example, we were able to be, like... You are like the loser today. Like you got bodied. You're the zero. Mm-hmm. And now
it's like
he has too much money, too much fame where it's just like there's not even any and that's a testament to him. He can be like, I win. You know, like there's never a day where I can be like, you're the loser. I'm the winner. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's always that he's on top. But that's why those golden years where like he wasn't what he is now. Mm-hmm. And we still like had some funny dynamic between all three of us, and like all of that shit still like came together, and it was just so goddamn funny. Mm-hmm. And moments like that were like, you know, I mean, true laugh out loud. Like, I remember seeing it happen and like standing up and being like, all right, what are we gonna do? Should we like get together on a Skype right now and do an immediate rundown? Should we like try to make a Photoshop? I remember Fights' video where he was doing something with Taylor Swift, ironically, on a day her album's out, where he was like, check out my Taylor Swift video. And he was like, yo, Taylor Swift, he's dead. He's dead. He's fucking dead. Yeah. And like everybody chiming in with their own little contributions. It was just and I think at that point, you know, all of our Twitter in our little echo chamber is reacting. Mm-hmm. And it feels like the whole world is talking about Dave and Chrissy Teigen. Yep. And in reality, it was probably like 1,000 people total. You know what I mean? Now it's such a bigger scale. There's so much more on the line. There's so much more to lose. And you know what else sucks is like, I've always said this, and this is what I really don't like about fame. And it's kind of a cowardly thing on my part. I miss when you could talk shit and bust balls and talk about celebrities.
And then they wouldn't find out.
And they wouldn't ever find out. And you wouldn't have to worry about crossing paths. And it's not because I ever say anything that I truly wouldn't like ultimately stand by, but it's just kind of fun to be like, eh, fuck that guy, he's a fucking loser, and then not have it be like, I'm coming to your office tomorrow, you know, or like tweet right at you because I got tagged a million times and you're actually like big enough for me to respond to. And it's like, well, I'm just here to try to, because when you want to be like the average guy, mm-hmm. like the average people at home, I do this with the Mets too. The average people at home are like, man, fuck Pete Alonso on that play. Like, you're lazy.
Yeah.
And I want to be able to say that too without it being like, well, now we're like banned from the Mets clubhouse, you know? And shit like that where it's like, I just want to keep it real, but we've almost gotten too big to be, you know, the common man anymore. Mm-hmm. So the perfect era of still quote-unquote common man, not quite as big as we are now, but big enough that shit like that happens, was the perfect time. The golden years of Barstool that I truly believe nobody ever again will be able to replicate.
No chance.
The internet has changed too much. The
Barstool's too big. But
the celebrity, the social media has changed too much. There was that perfect period of time that I don't think anybody will ever be able to replicate again.
I don't want to name names here, but I facilitated in helping someone that works here learned the hard way that you can't do that anymore. Someone either like wrote a blog or made a video about someone, and then the person that they were talking about reached out to me and they're like, can I have their number? And I was like, fuck yeah, you can.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. But I actually, as I understand it, that went like not so
it was,
bad.
Yeah, it was pretty cordial. Yeah. It was like,
I actually think that was strategic on that person's part.
For sure.
To not to chew him out, but to be like, hey, let's
de-weaponize.
Not. Yes, yeah. Like that's the thing is, not that we're ever like truly just like trolls saying shit for the sake of saying shit, but if you're nice to me, I'll probably be nice back.
Right.
So that's
like,
why
it's very hard to like be, because what was it? Tuesday night, I was watching The Bachelorette with Trent and Rhea, Fran, and Kelly Keegs. And there was this dude on there, I forget his name, but he was just the fucking worst.
Yeah.
And I'm just trashing this dude. And then they're like, yeah, no, he came in the office and he was super nice and blah, blah. And it's like, that like ruins it.
Yes, exactly.
That ruins it.
You become real because it humanizes
people.
Yeah,
like you're watching a show.
You
and
think
it's
of
like,
them as.
You're not going to get authentic takes. Like, like if that's what, if you're watching it and that's how you feel, then that's probably what you're viewers
correct.
On your show
are feeling, and that's what they want to hear.
Yeah, and then you're gonna say like, well, he's actually not a bad guy. Like, he came in,
it
he was
sucks.
Super cool, and like
I
everyone's
hate
like,
that.
No, that
I
guy
that.
Sucks. Like,
I
talk about
it.
How much he sucks.
And that's why, like, I told Clem at one point, like,
that's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
There's a couple guys on the Mets I will talk to, but otherwise I kind of want to just be like the fan. And and there are people who I like would rather it would it be cool to know I don't know, that actor or that reality show celebrity or whatever, they come in, they hang out. Yeah, but I think it's more important and valuable to be able to keep your stay impartial and not be. But I'm also like, I'm not a fucking sociopath who's like, nice to meet you, you're a really cool person, but I'm still going to continue to trash you because I need to keep my reality TV show integrity up. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, it is. It's.
I mean, I've told players like it's different with the Red Sox versus other teams. Like, if you're not on my team, I don't give a fuck. Like, if you're struggling, if like you're like 0 for your last 56, I'm not gonna shit on you because it doesn't affect me personally.
Yeah.
But like, there have been players on the Red Sox being like, "Yo, like, if I start to suck, like, are you gonna rip me?" And I'm like, "Yeah,
that's the game, homie."
And they're like, "Damn, like, you're gonna turn on me like that?" I'm like, "Well, what am I supposed to do?
Don't get bad.
Yeah,
keep playing good.
Yeah."
Yeah, what's your favorite era of Barstool?
I mean, when I first started, like, it is kind of weird how, like, I've been to the Milton office, like, when the Milton office was functioning.
Did
like,
we buy that, by the way?
I don't think so. I think they were asking for an outrageous amount of money. It was like $2.3 million.
Oh my God.
It's literally worth like $5.
Maybe the 0.3. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a broken down piece of shit dentist's office.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, definitely not worth it. Yeah, but like my favorite era.
Like, I loved.
It probably was like around then.
Just blogging was awesome too. When it was New York and Boston, and it was almost like staggered every other half hour. And it was just like, it was like watching like Rocky and Drago, which is like knockout punch after knockout punch, like a 10 out of 10 blog every single time you refresh the website.
There was a point in time, probably before I started working here, where I read every blog.
Fucking blog. And they were all so fucking fun. And I wonder if like, people always want us to get back into blogging and like we do. And when we do it, it's fun and it's good. But I feel like even the internet has evolved where it's like, people aren't just like sitting at work reading a blog anymore.
Yeah.
They've become like the social media revolution. They've become the TikTok people and the Instagram lives and the 15-second clips and shit where I don't know if that's ever going to happen again. Like the written word will always be around, but that type and the way that we did it then, I don't think that ever happens either.
I think it's because, I mean, the pandemic has fucked that up royally because people are on the train and they're just like flipping through their phone. Like they're probably reading blogs like while they're commuting or something like that. I know I would like read them like at work or whatever, but it's different now. But I mean that era probably around that like 2013 to 15, like when Dana was an intern, like that content was just hilarious. Like her dynamic with Blind Mike, like way back
Pirate
in the day.
Simon, that kind of shit.
Yeah. Like that stuff.
The beginning of like
organic.
The Whack Pack stuff.
Yeah.
Your haircut, Seth.
Yeah.
Crazy Lou came aboard. Like all that kind of shit was. Of course it's like better now and bigger and more money and all that shit, but yeah,
the production quality is outstanding. Like the stuff that Barstool puts out now is top notch and we would have laughed at the idea of any of this stuff being produced by Barstool Sports, but
well, we did. There's that clip that Dave loves to bring up when Dave's like, people are talking about us in boardrooms and they want to be us.
Yeah,
of course he shows it now because listen, he was proven right, but at that point in time, not a motherfucking soul was
nobody.
Talking about it. You were busy throwing wallets off of blind kids' faces.
Yeah.
Nobody was talking about us then.
I mean,
they are now. They probably were like shortly after that. But in that moment, we were still a bunch of fucking clowns.
Yeah.
Mike Kearns at Chernin was the only person talking about us in any boardroom anywhere.
I think they probably were talking about Barstool in some boardrooms, but not. In the way that Dave thought.
Think so,
They were not talking about
like,
Barstool.
We need to be like that.
Yeah, they weren't like, look at this production quality. Like, how do we match this? They were thinking like, why do people like this so much? Like, they have a cult following. They're super passionate. Like, look at the money that they just raised in Boston for like the marathon and all this shit. And it's like, where are all these people coming from? Like, these t-shirts suck. Like, this website looks like shit, and these videos are horrible.
Had to be infuriating.
Yeah, like, why? Why do people like this? And, I mean, if you take the time to kind of, like, educate yourself and get immersed in the culture, you're like, I get it.
Yeah. I would love to talk to some of the names now from, like, hockey Twitter and White Knight Twitter who used to be, like, oh, that little blog, and then just like when they unequivocally, undeniably lost, you know, when they used to say things like, well, when, you know, when Barstool's gone under and I'm still writing at like the Philadelphia Inquirer or whatever fucking like old school, antiquated, probably bankrupt company they're at now, I would love for them to have finally, the moment where they had to go like, fuck, I lose. Like they're right. They did it. We're fucking done.
What employee number are you?
I think I was three.
Three?
But that's after Gaz? Yeah.
You were before Keith?
I mean, me and Keith are like same time. So I think mine says three, his says four, or the other way around. But that also doesn't include like Manzo, Jamie Chisholm,
right.
Jerry Thornton, Rear Admiral. Yeah. Like those guys all in the
Jamie's
OG.
Jamie's the fucking man.
The Boston newspaper guys should have been in there first. I think as far as the Barstool, you know it as, I think I'm either three or four. It goes like Dave, Gaz, me and Keith. But yeah, that doesn't take into account some of the godfathers that paved the way.
To this day, if you go to like a Barstool event, however big or small, and it's in Boston, Jamie's there.
Yeah, he's a funny. I probably met him. We DM every now and then. There was a period of time where we talked a little bit. But yeah, guys like him and Manzo, who like, you know, they've got and like the
Manzo
Neils of the
has,
world.
Like,
and, like,
has Manzo contributed to any like Barstool documentary type stuff?
I don't think so. That's
Is he?
I mean.
Does he like hold a grudge?
I don't think he could be too thrilled.
I mean, well, put it this way, and I mean this with all due respect. The best case scenario is he's Hubs now. Like, I mean, that's not like, you're not like, damn, I missed the boat on that.
Yeah, right. But I feel like he probably was not thrilled with, I mean, but he.
By the way, it's
but,
Hubs'
but,
birthday. Happy birthday, Hubs. Happy birthday, Hubs.
Happy birthday,
Hubs. Hope you're
having
a great day.
Let's hit our break. When we come back, Dominican Dillon's on the line. We'll talk to him. We'll talk about the latest beef in the Barstool world. Davey is embroiled in the mud with a teenager, with a child.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
We'll be back after the break. I'll see you again.
Come on.
Party's right here on Dog Day CCK. We're going down memory lane a little bit, talking about the old school, good old days of Barstool. And now on the line is a prominent member of the new guard of Barstool fans. Dominican Dillon's on the line. Dominican Dillon, you've been reading Barstool for I guess, you know what's even weird is saying that. How long have you been reading Barstool? It's like that. You might follow the
read
account.
What, the Instagram captions?
Right. You follow the Instagram and you listen to the radio and you could be immersed in Barstool and not read anything. How long you been a Barstool fan, Dillon?
I'm trying to think. Since I started watching the rundowns in high school, so that was probably 2012, 2013.
All right, so
but
that's still
really
pretty OG shit.
I started really getting into it, I remember, when you guys first moved to New York and you guys first had radio. I remember seeing clips. I think it was the Loud Sean. It was when radio first started. Him and that dude going at it, and I was like, fuck, I got to subscribe to this shit real quick.
Yep, that was when, and
that was
what was
2016.
Good. That was what was good about the New York move, is that it became a little, you know, Howard Stern-esque, where all sorts of characters coming on and shit.
I feel like that's a peak. Have a little bit of money, have enough money to do what you want,
but
and you're not too big.
Not
yet.
Like sold out.
Old Office was peak Barcelona.
Yeah, I would probably agree with that.
Because everything was still like Milton quality there. It was Milton quality, not for the same price. I mean, the fucking Barstool office, like Dave, when he first came in there, like bragged about it being like $1 million office.
Yeah.
He's like, doesn't this a $1 million office? It's like, this place is a piece of shit.
It sucks.
You're basically just paying for the space in Manhattan versus the contents of the actual office. So, yeah, it was an expansion of Milton where you, like, I remember when Dave went on Periscope or whatever it was.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
the day that the Chernin deal was announced, and people had all these questions, and that's when the, like, the idea of the birdcage for Nate first came about. And as a guy that had been reading Barstool since 2007, and like I watched the integration of you and Keith and Dan and you know, the expansion of like Barstool U and all these different cities, Smitty, I was like, this is going to be fucking amazing to finally see all these personalities together.
Yeah.
Permanently.
Right.
I think it lived up to the hype. Like the first Barstool, like, well, the first office in New York, that lived up to the hype.
No doubt.
Here, it's still great, but it's different. Here,
well, now it's like we're a media fucking empire.
Yeah, it's
like
it's every man for himself here. Yeah. Like when we had the old New York office, it was like everyone is just thrown
intertwined.
Into
everybody's
story. It's a Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Everyone's in the ring together.
Yeah. Here. Every day, I remember. Every day on radio. It was also one show, too. So that shit would get jam-packed into 2 hours. And it was
the original Barstool Radio, when it was just 12 to 2.
This is crazy.
You would get called in and get
roasted. Yeah,
you
didn't want to end up on that show.
You know, and now you get a whole lineup, and it's great entertainment and shit. But, yeah, that was when it was like you can't miss, or you're not even going to know what's going
on. You had the MMA dudes straight calling in, getting real tight. What the fuck is this?
Yes, because we're on the Combat Sports Channel. That's right. That's right.
Oh, yeah.
We were, like, packed in between two MMA shows. Yeah, that was funny, man. I mean, those were certainly good times that will be remembered. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know where it goes from here, where it's like it'll probably keep thriving, and as more and more states legalize, we'll make more and more money and all that. But it'll just become this, like, gambling media, like, you know, fucking empire, and it's not like a little, blog anymore.
You guys keep an element. You guys keep an element. Because I was watching, shout out to Za. You guys keep an element. Because I was watching the stream on Sunday. And first of all, I put money on Arsenal and said, but watching Za,
I was going nuts. Dude, that stream, like, Za and Troops were going insane.
That's football.
Absolutely nuts, man. It was
crazy. When they started arguing, I was like, that was me the day before with my pops arguing about fucking West Ham blowing a second half lead and shit. But that shit was amazing.
Yeah, we'll always keep it real. It'll always be that. And thanks for the call, Dill. I'm going to get into this. All right,
guys. Have a good weekend.
This TikTok story here. You too, man. And there'll always be drama and beef, as evidenced by this latest go round. But it's just different. Like, so the latest is this kid, Bryce Hall. Bryce Hall, I have a 1 minute man coming out on it today to recap for everybody who's old. But
I love your intro when you do the TikTok.
I've got that down to like a fucking T now.
It's my favorite.
It's KFC back once again with an update for the TikTok crowd. For the people of the age of 25 who don't really care about TikTok but sort of kind of want to know what's going on without having to sign up for it or dive in too deep, but they don't want to be lame and not fully know what's going on, so here's the scoop. So Dave is on this show with this kid, Josh Richards. Josh Richards lives in a house with all of his buddies. One of the guys is named Bryce Hall. He looks like a cartoon character. He has he's got to be one of the guys on steroids because he has like Big Papa Pump type of arms, but the rest of him is kind of normal size. And he, you know, dances on TikTok and makes a shit ton of money. And his girlfriend is one of the famous TikTokers, Addison Rae. Now, Lil Yachty, you know who that is, Jared?
No.
Okay, Lil Yachty's a rapper. Lil Yachty made a song and said, I want Addison Rae to be my doctor, check my privates. Bryce Hall.
Talking about his penis.
Did not like that.
Mm-hmm.
And,
me either.
And demanded an apology from Lil Yachty.
Oh, please.
Guess what Lil Yachty did?
What do you do?
He apologized.
Why?
Which is like, I said, like, could you imagine someone back in the day saying, hey, Eminem, you know, can you apologize to Britney Spears? Like,
yeah.
Fuck you, dude. I'm a fucking rapper. You're a TikTok, like, you're trying to be the sexy, like, e-boy on TikTok. Fuck you. But I watched this video, and they were on, like, a Periscope or live stream together, and he was like, listen, I get it. You know, I wouldn't want someone talking about my girl that way, so I'm sorry. And I'm like, oh, my fucking God.
All credibility lost forever.
All gone. All of it gone. So he, you know, they apologize, and they bury the hatchet, but nonetheless, they're still, like, beef, Bryce Hall, Lil Yachty. The BFF's Twitter account tweets out a screenshot from this kid's Spotify that says he's listening to Lil Yachty. And they just said, is this you? Being like, yo, I thought you had beef with this guy. You made fun of your girl, but you're still listening to him.
Yep.
And this guy, Bryce Hall, goes nuclear. because he's the most like thin-skinned, insecure one of the whole bunch. Mm-hmm. He's the one a couple weeks ago when Alex Cooper went one by one and made fun of him. She said he looks like Sid from Ice Age.
Okay.
And he went nuts. Mm-hmm. Like a pretty harmless, like, hey, you
wasn't
look like
he calling
thing from
Alex, like, old?
Yes.
She's, like, 26.
He said, like, this 30-year-old going through a midlife crisis.
Yeah, she's 26.
And then today, or yesterday from this one, he said, Dave, you're so pathetic. A 50-year-old man who's hanging on to this 18-year-old hanging out with high school kids for clout. Now, me, that's my whole fucking shtick on weekly on Instagram.
Right.
I call him 45-year-old Dave Portnoy. I would love to be down with this guy. Be like, yeah, mm-hmm. I'll be the washed up guy mm-hmm. hanging out with you. He's the washed up guy hanging out with Josh. We'll fucking go at it, whatever. Yeah. But he sucks so much.
Mm.
And Dave's just like killing him on Twitter. Vin Dog's killing him on Twitter. And Bryce is like, oh, look at all these olds coming after me. Like, just not a funny retort, not a witty response. Like, you know.
That's why
we
like,
know he's thin-skinned about his girl, and it's just and it's funny watching Dave fight these guys, and he's tapping into this audience that is young but huge. But it's just like this is the new version of our beef and our funny storylines. It involves like assholes like Bryce Vine instead of involving like the deep weirdos of the internet that it used to be.
Yeah,
you know, it used to be like Cheesy Boy. It used to be like funny, weird, quirky people from the internet. Now it's like a famous celebrity. But he kind of sucks, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's why I kind of, like, never age shame people. Like, when I was kind of going at the Red Sox writers, like, I would never be like, yeah, you're fucking old. Because, like, I know I'm going to get old someday, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's going to suck when I get to be, like, 45, and then you've got, like, the 30-something-year-old that's, like, coming at me for being old. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah,
there's nothing I can do about that.
And what's weird is that because of things like social media and now, like, how young TikTok is skewing, you know, now the up-and-coming people are, like, teenagers.
Yeah.
So there's, like, you're several generations apart from the new up-and-comers.
Mm.
But, yeah, on this latest thing, Dave, they watched a sex tape together. They looked at the abs of all the boys in the soy house, and now they're beefing with this kid. So,
good for Dave.
I wonder what's going to happen. Like, so this dude lives with this guy, Bryce Hall, the guy that Dave does the show with.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's, like, beef, you know?
Are they actual friends?
That's what I can't tell, if they have all been thrown in a house together for the purpose of money and content,
mm-hmm.
or if they're friends. I mean, this dude could identify all of his buddies anonymously by their abs, so
That's
he knows
weird.
Them.
Yeah,
he knows them for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it's like anything else. He's friends with some of them and not friends with other ones. But it's like, wouldn't if it was like me and you, and you had a podcast with some dude, and he was like crushing me, and we were going at it. Don't you think I'd come to you and be like, yo, you're going to have my back, like, at all?
Yeah.
You're going to, like, stick up for me
like
even a little bit?
Like, Steve was just absolutely crushing you on Section 10.
And you maybe didn't join in or whatever, but you just kind of, like, never said a word.
Yeah, I've been like,
what the fuck,
all right, good point.
And we, like, lived together.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, Dave is just
Are they, like, a Team 10 type deal?
Yeah. The Sway House is what it's called.
Oh, the Sway House. Yeah, I've heard of that.
Make so much money.
You know, do you know why it's called the Team 10 House?
There was 10 people?
No.
Why?
10 zeros. They wanted to be the first billion-dollar YouTubers.
Right.
Yeah.
Nope,
they could get there. I mean, if
well,
Jake keeps fucking fighting
like,
people.
Yeah, seriously. He might get there by himself.
Yeah.
Like, fuck.
They were talking about what type of money Jake Paul versus Logan Paul would draw.
That's the eventually that's happening.
Yeah, it has to happen, but I think you can't blow that load too soon.
No.
Like, you keep fighting other people. I think fucking Jake or Logan only has one fight.
One opponent.
And he lost
twice.
To KSI?
He had a draw, and he has a loss, and then a draw.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and he's getting to fight Floyd Mayweather.
And he thinks that he was he would be the favorite in a fight against Jake.
I don't know about that.
Jake
is
literally
strong hands, bro.
He lost his goddamn mind. Because, like, some poll from some schmuck Twitter account, like, put a poll out there, like, who would win, Jake Paul or Logan Paul? And it was 80% for Logan. And
see,
he lost his goddamn mind.
That's where
mind.
Dave was saying, like,
there's probably, like, 793 votes.
Yeah.
And he was like, the world thinks that I can't beat my brother?
Bring it the fuck on. We were saying how you got to have, like, some bad blood there.
Yeah.
And Dave doesn't think there is any.
Oh, there is.
I think there is
on Jake's side, not Logan's side.
I agree. But I think that's enough, even if it's one-sided, where it's like, I think that they would probably do a little bit more together if they were totally tight.
Jake has the inferiority complex.
Like, Logan took a couple shots.
Logan will do it in a playful way.
Yeah, yeah.
Jake doesn't do it in a playful way.
Right.
Jake got asked about the fight with Logan, and he was like, I've got more money than him. I get prettier girls than him. Yeah. Like, I'm bigger than him. Like, I got, like, all this stuff. And then Logan was like, he's like, what were you going to say next? Like, your dick's bigger. Yes. Like well, Logan was making Logan, fun of it. Logan Jake was dead serious.
I think Logan's, like, a little more clever, a little more witty.
He was more mature.
And he went through the fire and came out the other side. He has more perspective, where Jake is still in the, like, fuck the world. Yeah. The best. But you know what? Those both play. Yeah. I like Logan better because he's got, like, the more maturity to it.
Hey guys, it's Big Cat, and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. For the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1, every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 this Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
But Jake just being the villain and embracing the role of, like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
That plays too.
Yeah. They asked Logan, like, if you beat Floyd, what's next? And he was like, honestly, I would just go, like, build a house in the middle of nowhere and just going to retirement. Yeah,
if he beats Floyd, he better never fucking touch a boxing glove. Like,
yeah, he's like, I'll just do prize fights for the rest of my life, like once a year, just whatever.
What a world. Let's go to Matt in Cleveland. What's up, Matt?
What's up?
Cooking.
Dogtown action. What's going on, boys? How are we?
What do you got?
Hey, so one of my favorite things in reminiscing Barstool are like the inner beefs or like big blowout fights you guys may show on Stool Scenes. You know, obviously KFC, you were big one there with Nate, or like when Rex was rolling around. I was curious if either of you two have moments like those that you're like, oh shit, this was like hilarious that it went down. And also, what's the word with Sirius? If you guys have any update, like radio wise, will we be able to hear you guys on Sirius in the next couple months? Or that's really about it.
Still,
Sirius still hasn't called me.
As far as I know, no update with Sirius. I mean, they just gave the bag to Howard Stern, and that became official. Mm. So we know there's money to go around. I don't know if there's any left after the Howard deal. I would always argue that we're the only other like force on their network that really drives subscriptions, I would have to imagine. But I don't think there's any update there. But I also wouldn't know, so I can't. Don't quote me one way or the other. I'm not in on those negotiations, so what do I know? What was the best beef? I loved. For so long, I was in the beef. Or I was hosting the radio shows, so I would be like, when I used to host Barstool Radio and Dave would crush people, mm-hmm. I would always try to throw him a lifeline. I would always try to play devil's advocate. I would mm-hmm. always try to help them out. So I would always find myself inserting into someone else's beef and then making it part of my beef and mm-hmm. then being so when, like, very rarely was I able to just sit back and like watch the fucking drama unfold.
Yeah.
And I can't even think of a specific time, but I do remember the rare times where I wasn't in it, just being like the popcorn gift, like yeah, just fucking
the best one ever was Hammygate. Like that was because like the world stopped so that could happen.
And we had nobody plans, knew her, like, you know, so we were all able to just kind of like, even that, I remember being like, I was kind of jumping in and talking shit too, but I was like, I don't even know this girl. Should I say anything?
Or yeah.
But Dave just being, you know, full grudgment day was incredible.
But I think,
again, that day, the stars aligned. 15-year-old Steve's parents were there.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, weird things went down that was, like, there was also another beef going on in the office that day.
Oh, it was, like, YP and Nate.
YP versus Nate was happening.
And YP, then, like, showed up late, and then Nate, fucking...
Nate buried him, and then they pushed him over, and then Hammy happened. I mean, tons of shit.
Yeah. The Hammy thing, though, because I feel like, you know, if you're working at Barstool, you probably start out as, like, a Barstool fan, and then you love old school Dave, and then it's, like, when your best friend gets the girlfriend, and the girlfriend absolutely sucks. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I can't wait for you guys to break up.
Yeah.
And then like the breakup happens and like you've awoken this, like, cause you know what Dave's capable of. Yeah. It's like, oh shit, this fire breathing dragon is about to come into the office. Yep. Like that day, like everything was quiet. If you had plans, you canceled them. Yep. I went to bed the night before being like, this feels tomorrow, like 12, as a kid, 12, it's like Christmas. Yeah. Like you got there. Like, I'm not a come in early guy. I came in early.
That was the office. They put all, they put radio on the TVs.
Yes.
And everybody just sat in the middle.
Yes.
And just
everyone stopped,
what
they were doing. There was a powwow where they do the rundown in front of the bar. They put all the TVs on and everyone just sat there. And like during the breaks, everyone scrambled and went back to their desk.
I
like,
I came out to like get water and it was like scattered like roaches when the lights come on.
Yeah. Everyone's scattered, and then like when, because we could see, we weren't just listening, we could see like the radio room.
Yeah.
So like everyone would go back in, they close the door, and everyone would be like scramble back over to like the monitors to watch it. It was something to behold. It truly was.
That was a special one for sure. Rajan, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How you guys doing?
Good, man. What do you got for us?
One of the most underrated clips in Barstool history is KFC when it was Dave, you, and Big Cat doing the first combine. And when McShay was reading off the final results and you guys were just throwing the ball in the background, kind of jabbing back and forth at each other. And then the old lady with the walker
creeps in
the background. That's one of my favorite. I think it's the most underrated. It was just so Barstool for the time.
I remember like writing a recap blog because I obviously got like torched and that was so embarrassing for me. And I wrote like a wrestling blog being like, well, you're still talking about me. And like without me, that video flops. I'm the star of it. I was like, except there's one other person that stole the show and it was that old ass lady just crippling along. Yeah. It was great.
So funny.
McShay, we hijacked him for like 8 hours. It was supposed to be like, yeah, come out for like an hour, do this thing, then we'll do the talk show part, and you can go. And his advice to us was like, you know, you cannot do this with a real celebrity ever. Like, if you do this with someone who matters, they will never talk to you again. He's like, I gotta fucking go, man. Let's go to Michael in Houston. What's your favorite old school moment?
Hey guys, I remember when you first came down to Houston, probably about 5 years ago for the Super Bowl. Actually, KFC, you tagged me Barstool Bear. I was at that bar, Kirby Ice House, every night watching you guys. And it just seemed like I had drinks with you guys after the last night. And after the success of that, it just seemed like everyone there who hung out was just like, yeah, we just took a major step in Barstool history.
Well, you know, we thought we did. Like, I remember the numbers were crazy. That was the week that we were on Comedy Central every night, live television, big network. And the numbers on social media were like, we got like 1 billion tweets and 10 billion impressions and all these things that I was like, well, there's no way Comedy Central can't just give us the bag right now. And then like we heard that they were like, yeah, like that was a fun week, but like absolutely not.
Really?
I don't think there was any chance we were like going to get on TV because of that. No.
Why?
Also, I mean, look at Comedy Central. They, you know. They have not exactly evolved with the times and become like a powerhouse of comedic television.
I couldn't
tell
you the name of a show on Comedy Central besides like Chappelle's Show if they still
want
it.
South Park, you know what I mean?
Yeah, South Park.
Like they had a chance. Had they evolved and been like you go for a Netflix special, right? Like it could have been like your Comedy Central special if they got on the internet and got younger and got like more cutting edge, and then instead they. You know, that's why I thought they were going to go that direction. But I think they've had a lot of changes in the higher ups with Viacom and all like executives and shit over the years. So I don't think, but I also don't think we were. I would be interested to go back and watch that and see if it was funny to see if, well, to see if it was as good as, like, sometimes I was like, man, there was a couple nights I thought we did good, a couple nights I thought that we, like, did not do good. There was a lot of drama going on behind the scenes. At that point, we were, like, we were hanging on by a fucking thread. I was trying to, like, produce that show and get everyone to cooperate, and, like, it was ugly, so I wonder if like if we went back and watched, if it was like, oh yeah, that wasn't that funny. Like, of course we didn't get a fucking TV deal out of this.
Right. I remember watching it and feeling like this is the top, where it's like, you've seen it since initially it's infancy stages, and then you get to a point where it's like, holy fuck, like they're on Comedy Central right now. But it didn't have that exact feeling because on one hand it's like, yes, they are on Comedy Central, but it's not like, boom, we announced Comedy Central, Barstool Sports. Like, this is going to be a show that's
forever.
Definitely on.
Yeah,
it wasn't like that. It was like
it was a tryout.
I'm watching
I don't
a
think
tryout.
We got it, you know?
And I think everyone knew that it was a tryout.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, we're doing Comedy Central for a week, and if it goes well. But then as you're seeing it, like, you're seeing all these social numbers, and you're like, how could Comedy Central not want this?
I think it did, you know, okay TV ratings, and that's their TV channel.
Yeah. But what
I think
was the time
also,
slot?
You know, it was like 12 o'clock. It was midnight. It was tough. But I also think that, you know, going like at this point, if we got that offer again this time, I think we'd be like, we're an internet company. We can get more eyeballs by like doing a Periscope stream at midnight.
Right.
We
TV's
don't need
not
the television.
That.
Because I think we used to do that stuff for validation and for legitimacy, mm-hmm. and that does work. Same thing here with Sirius. But it's like, okay, we're legitimized now. Nobody doesn't know who we are, so we don't need this anymore.
Right.
You know, if you can help us get more eyeballs and more money, sure. But if not, we don't need to do Comedy Central for the name, because we can go get like several hundred thousand people, like, you know, using fucking TikTok.
Yeah,
using,
I mean,
using Periscope, using IG Live, whatever. You know,
you could make the case that like Dave just putting a video out on Instagram and Twitter would do better numbers than like a midnight TV
television.
Show on Comedy
I mean,
Central.
Probably definitely at this point. Who's tuning in? Like, set your alarms for fucking midnight to watch, to turn the channel. I mean,
right.
It just doesn't work.
I mean,
like
people
that
did it because it was like, we're so invested and we want to support, and like, this is a huge moment for the company. So, like, we're going to tune in for this week to come out in numbers.
Same thing with Barstool Van Talk. I remember like literally going, just like falling. I had a young kid at that point.
Yeah.
Like, went to sleep, set an alarm to turn on my TV to get the ratings and to watch it. But if we were being real, a much better thing probably would have been them just doing like a half hour TV show on YouTube, on, you know, whatever else. Mm-hmm. Like, we are an internet company, and it's crazy to think, but it's almost like a backward step now to do television.
Right. So, you're basically doing it for the paycheck versus like the audience size.
And I just don't know where it goes from here now.
Where
the,
does it
the
go?
The gambling thing is so huge. And everybody, you know, we're all still together. As Dan and Dave will certainly be together for the next, like, decade.
Yeah.
But everything else is kind of a little more, like, separated and fragmented. Not as much, you know. It's, like, bittersweet in a way. I think when the book gets written one day, this will be, like, kind of the last days of it even being all under one roof or whatever. But it's been a fucking tale, that's for certain.
Yeah.
One I don't think will ever be written quite like it again.
That's why I think for Rough and Rowdy, like, anytime that there's a, like, people are like, oh, if there's a Barstool beef, fight them at Rough and Rowdy.
Yeah.
I think it would be funnier if they incorporated more of like a pro wrestling style into Rough and Rowdy, where if there is a beef, like, go to Rough and Rowdy and like cut promos like in the ring, like have that,
have
like
that build
like
up.
Yeah, like the Hollywood, like with like fucking smoke entrances and pyro and shit. Like, you don't have to like actually box. You like, you can have your regular boxing matches, but like if
but
there
the
is
shit talking.
Yes,
yeah.
Like,
you
like
a promo in the
yes
ring,
yes,
you know?
Like, that would be
challenge me to the next one down the road. But then we write blogs and we do podcasts.
Yes,
that's where we
if you had more of
butter.
The entertainment side of pro wrestling mixed in with like Rough and Rowdy, that'd be fucking cool.
All right, that's it for us here. A dog day. Keep it moving with the dogs out in Chicago. Keep it moving this weekend. No indoor dining, so bundle up and stay outside, I guess.
It's the last weekend, Kev, so get your partying in.
It.
It's on Monday.
Oh, that's right. All right, Monday. So we'll be back then, and stay hot.